Welcome to Nature Finds a Way, a pop culture biology podcast where we nerd out about biology facts and fiction in some of our favorite books, movies, and TV shows.
I'm Lindsay, and she's Sarah, and today we're on a super random topic, which we're using to talk about the West Wing, and that is wolves.
Wolves. We are both big West Wing fans.
Wing nuts.
Wing nuts. Oh, yes. I didn't know we had a term.
Oh, yeah. People came up with that a long time ago.
Excellent.
I'm sad that that's what it is, but, can't do anything about it.
Excellent. And in one episode of The West Wing, there is some biology. So, therefore, we decided to build a whole episode of our podcast on that episode.
Yeah.
Lindsay, do you want to tell us a bit about that episode?
Yeah, I'm just looking up the number because I forgot, but it's season one. Mm. I think it's episode 5. It's called The Crackpots and These Women. Mm. It's our first episode of Big Block of Cheese Day, everybody's favorite.
Yay.
And for more of that, go watch it or listen to The West Wing Weekly.
Yeah.
And anyway, at one point, CJ meets with some people. Mm-hmm. About creating a wolves-only roadway for Pluie,
yes.
Who is a wolf who wants to go from somewhere in America, Montana, back to British Columbia and the Yukon, on her migratory patterns.
Yes.
And one of the main reasons we talked about this, not just because Pluie and it's kind of amusing, but it's also starring everybody's favorite Nick Offerman.
Yes, everybody's favorite woodworker.
Yes.
It's like baby Nick Offerman, though.
Yeah, because it's 1999. Yeah. So, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they talk a lot about returning wolves to the West and the perception of wolves and their killers. There's actually never been a case of a healthy wolf killing a human in North America. Any wolf attacks have been rabid wolves. Mm. And in her plea, she also talks about how wolves don't kill people and vending machines kill more people than wolves a year. And it's true. 2.18 deaths per year for vending machines.
Yeah.
So watch out, people.
Watch out. And I think there's a big perception about, especially in the areas where wolves are seen as problem animals, is that they're really destructive to ranches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're not experts on ranching and farming, but I think wolves are a part of a healthy ecosystem. So contributing to a healthy ecosystem, even if that does mean you might have, a tiny percentage of attrition of your cattle, it also means you have healthy grazing land and healthy overall ecosystem. So there's such a balance between that. I think thinking that you can have a ranch that is a part of nature, or thinking that you can have a ranch that's not a part of nature, that you can isolate it from nature, is short-sighted.
Yes, I agree. So the point that they are trying to make is wildlife crossings and wolves-only hideaways. There are a lot of wildlife crossings in the world. One of the most popular ones that I didn't really think of until I looked those up is salmon ladders. Mm. Or fish ladders, I guess, such as salmon.
Yeah,
totally. Which is a big one. But there are wildlife crossings. One of the most successful ones is in Banff, on the border of British Columbia and Alberta. And I actually took a picture of it when I was on that highway at one point in my life. So we'll put a link up about all sorts of wildlife crossings. Yeah. And that's better because, that's one of the points that President Bartlett makes is that it can't just be for wolves because that's segregation.
Yeah. there's also even been on a way smaller scale than wolves, if there's a road that blocks a body of water from a wetland, they sometimes on peak frog migratory season will close that road, or people will bucket the little baby frogs the adult frogs. Both, I don't know, I think they do both ways. So it would be the little froglets going from the water into the wetland, and then the adult frogs going from the wetland into the water.
Yeah, there's also, I want to see if I can find the video of when there was really high waters. I think it must have been on the West Coast, so it was probably just really high rain, where there's just a salmon just swimming across the street because it's low water, and he's like, I need to get upstream because that's where I, do my stuff and then die. It's very important.
Very important.
Awesome. Anyway, so we're kind of just taking this part and turning it into a little talk about wolves in fiction.
Wolves in fiction. Do you remember the first time that you were afraid of a wolf in a Disney movie?
I'm trying to think if there was one before Beauty and the Beast. I'm sure that there was. I'm sure Snow White, who was a wussy pants, got attacked by wolves, or maybe Sleeping Beauty. See, we didn't have the VHS of Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, no.
We had Cinderella.
Yeah.
And I feel like we had Snow White, but, like, later in our lives, so I didn't watch it as much as I did Cinderella. And Sleeping Beauty, I only watched at my friend's house, so, like, I obviously know the story, but it's not, like, ingrained in my memory. Like, Cinderella and then everything.
All the later ones.
The top ones. So,
yeah.
Beauty and the Beast is probably the one I remember the most.
That was going to be me, too, because I remember seeing that one in the theater, and, like, I'm the oldest of my three siblings, and my whole family, all five of us, went to see it. And I was the one that was, like, curled up under my dad's arm, like, freaking out about the wolves.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Yep.
In that one. And then, as we pointed out, as I noticed when I watched it, I think probably the first time, or maybe the second time when I was less enthralled with the overall thing, is that it's, like, a total callback in Frozen.
Yeah.
They're there. They're chasing the two of them in a cart. So there's wolf attacks are primarily on children and women when they, in the rare times they attack women because they, as wolves, they attack the weaker
And they're, being. And they go after, like, solo things. They're not going to take down a whole pack of
So attacking people. Belle and her horse, who has a name, I've just totally forgotten it now, makes a lot of sense. And then the Beast comes and they attack and everybody falls in love. Spoiler alert, but whatever. If you are concerned about being spoiled by Beauty and the Beast, go out and do some other things. But in Frozen, it makes absolutely no sense. They're traveling at a pretty quick speed already. Yeah. There's a horse, a cart, a woman, and a man. And so it's totally a plot device.
And it's meant to be a callback to...
A callback to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, but also, like, that would have been the apex predator up there.
True.
So, they like, if they needed something,
it's
going to be wolves.
Against wolf behavior.
Yeah.
So, they could have, I don't know.
They were very hungry wolves.
Yes, because it was winter.
Yes, for, like, a day.
I know.
Confused wolves. They were confused by the sudden weather change. Yes, and therefore
true story.
Their behavior
modified. I know, we didn't look up their mating behavior cycles, but I'm sure they were probably like, but I'm about to have a baby, and now it's
probably.
Like, never really talk about the biological effects of sudden winter and summer. Elsa.
Oh, we could do that one.
We could do that one, too. We won't even get into animated snowmen, but whatever.
Well, that's not biology.
It's a true story.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
Tangented.
Yes. Then, I guess the main, like, so wolves, especially in Europe, were sort of very much seen as evil things that would get especially children, especially young girls going out into the woods. Obviously, the most famous example was Little Red Riding Hood, which before it was a cute little fairy tale, was a nursery rhyme fairy tale.
No.
It's not really a fairy tale. I don't know. It was before it was a child story. It was just a generic cautionary tale in, you know, like hundreds of
years
ago.
Because it's grim.
Yeah.
But
I guess so.
It just doesn't have as much plot as some of the other
Yeah, there's
fairy
not
tales.
As much magic.
Yes.
More.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was not told specifically to children. It was just told as a story around, you know, in communities as a cautionary tale of, like, don't go walking in the woods by yourself, even if you're going to go see your grandma, because there might be a wolf. And then it got extrapolated away from wolves into people that would rape young girls. And, yeah, like, the historical variations of Little Red Riding Hood are really interesting. And then, like, now it's, like, animated and,
yeah,
very sanitized. And it's just, like, this wolf that, like, pretends to be the grandma, and that's, like, the worst thing that the wolf does, basically.
Mm-hmm. Also, why is the grandma living in the woods? This is the thing that's always bothered me. Like, Into the Woods, the movie.
Yeah.
She's just cutting through the woods, which makes more sense. But this, like, the stories I remember is that her grandma lives in the woods.
I think her grandma's on the other side of a wood.
Okay.
Like,
I
not in the woods, just
lost. Yeah. I was always like, why is her grandma living in the woods?
Like, you go through the woods to get to grandmother's house, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other thing.
I know, but
over the river,
through the woods. Yeah, but it's the same
kind of thing,
etymology or whatever you want to call it. And then obviously there's the Three Little Pigs, where the pigs end up trying to be smarter than the wolves, which
works
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the moral of the story in that one? Use help?
Or, yeah, like, bricks? Use bricks, build buildings, industry.
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not a great moral, but probably sure. It is. Yeah, so like all European fairy tales.
Yeah, and then we have, more recently, we have the Lunar Chronicles, where they are a whole other thing that I won't even get into, and I don't want to spoil the Lunar Chronicles because I want you to go read them.
Yes.
But a whole other thing of wolfish kind of people.
Yeah.
As minions, they focus a lot on the hierarchy of wolves, which is a whole other thing about how wolf packs and canine packs are set up, and with the alpha male and every beta and all the way to omega, and that's a big plot point in the Lunar Chronicles, and that's something that is well known about wolves is their pack system.
They are really well
and studied. Something we were talking about when we were setting this up is that all the wolves. In that and a lot of other things is that the wolves are males, like,
The wolf characters are male.
Wolf characters are always male, either as, like, a tail for strapping boys or as a predatory
aspect. So, like, in all, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, I guess the pigs are not really boys or girls, they're just pigs, who knows? But, like, in lots of the fairy tales and stuff, the wolves are going after little girls. But then you have movies like The Jungle Book or Call of the Wild.
I think White Fang.
White Fang. Like, all these books where it's, like, boys that they end up not getting killed or whatever by wolves. They get raised by wolves.
Mm-hmm. And then there's strong young men.
Strong young wild men.
Yes. Yeah. And it's very good for them. Yeah. Tra-la-la.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting perception of wolves and their added behaviors and their hierarchy. And
also, like, what you think would happen to, like, little girls that get lost in the woods versus little boys that get lost in the woods.
Yeah.
And the end results of that.
Stuff.
And then, Lindsay, where's your favorite fictional
wolf? Oh, my favorite fictional wolf that we just talked about now is in Fantastic Mr. Fox. Canis Lupus. Doesn't appear to know English or Latin.
No.
So good. So random.
Yeah. We should do a Fantastic Mr. Fox.
We should.
Yeah.
We should have a guest bird.
Excellent.
Anyway.
Excellent. That probably wraps us up on our brief but wide-ranging discussion of wolves.
And our part one episode on Nick Offerman.
Indeed.
Stay tuned for another episode featuring Nick Offerman.
Everybody's favorite woodworker. Don't forget, you can check us out on social media at Nature Finds a Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Search for us to subscribe, and you could leave us a review. I don't know how that works.
Depending on when you're listening to this, we're going to PodCon.
Yeah,
we are. Not as, like, presenters or anything, no, but we'll be there.
We're going to PodCon. It's in January.
2019.
Yay!
We're super excited about it. Yeah. We went last year.
Ugh, it's the best.
It is the best.
It's just a place of joy and positivity in podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're going to go, let us know. And maybe we'll meet up. Who knows? Yes.
Drink coffee.
Yeah. And that's all. We'll be back with a much more thorough, longer episode very soon. It was a really busy summer.
See ya.
Bye. Oh, wait. Sarah's wearing her Beatles Crossing the Street shirt, and that's a Wildlife Crossing, too.
It is a Wildlife Crossing.
Beatles as in the bugs. It's a play on words, guys. Abbey Road. You get it.